Hello everyone, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a book podcast and blog where I review all types of novels. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for another book review. Needless to say, it has been quite a long time. I don't think I have done a review on here since January. The reason being, I have no excuse, and I just have been going through just like a reading slump. I haven't really been enjoying reading lately, which is kind of difficult to review books when you're not enjoying books. And so I've been trying to do as much as I can, right? I've been posting a little bit on my blog, I think once a month, but not necessarily good reviews, not necessarily on time reviews. I'm not on a schedule. Everything's just kind of a mess. And you guys probably knew that. As soon as I was like, I'm taking a break, it was probably like a ding, 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 she's gonna be gone for a while. And I'm glad to be back. Hopefully, this is the last time that something like this will happen. I'm planning on getting better at managing my time, you know, all that important stuff. And hopefully, I will be getting onto a schedule after I catch up for the next 2 months. It's going to be a little weird. It's going to be a little chaotic, but I'm planning on getting my reviews out. And then after that, I will hopefully be sticking to a schedule where I'm reviewing a book on here and on my blog at least once a month. Hopefully I'll be able to do more than that because I love putting out content for you guys. But just in case, this is my safety net. Once a month. That's what I'm holding myself to. I'll try to do the second Friday of the month, right? We'll try. We'll see. I'll probably announce that as I go. Once we get closer to where I'm like, I should probably start going to that. Because, you know, life gets crazy and I have other stuff to do besides the blog and podcast. So it's just, you know, I'm trying to balance. I'm trying to juggle. And it didn't work for a couple of months there. But now, hopefully, I'm back on track. I've missed this. This is so weird for me to sit here and just talk into my kitchen, actually. But, you know, usually it's an office. But that's besides the point. it's weird being back. And I'm excited to be back. And like I said, I apologize for the numerous delays and the just complete loss of contact with all of you. I just kind of went offline for a good while. I would drop a review here and there and then dip again. So, you know. but besides all of that, besides my apologies, my plans, you know, the standard stuff, I am glad to be back, and I'm excited about this review today because it's honestly, like I said, I've been having trouble reading books lately. They just don't interest me anymore. I'm having trouble finding books that I enjoy, right? And this one was one that I enjoyed. It didn't take me a month to read. It took me a week, which is long for me, but I'm getting back to normal, and that's what matters, right? So I'm excited for this review. And I'm excited to be back. But also, just quickly, if any of you have seen the new season of Stranger Things, please DM me on Twitter. Just email me. I don't care. But I just need to talk to someone about it. So if you want to talk about Stranger Things, because I'm going literally insane trying to like contain 9 episodes inside my being. I am slightly insane right now. Like, I'm sure I have talked about it before on here, but I love Stranger Things. I've watched that show so many times. I have shown it to my parents, my grandparents. It is just, I am obsessed. It is such a good show. We know on here that I love mysteries. I love thrillers. I love suspense. I don't know if I've ever talked about horror movies on here, but I love horror movies. Obviously, that sounds kind of messed up, but like, I enjoy being scared, right? It's fun. That's why I like haunted houses. Actually, I take that back. I don't like haunted houses. I like scary movies. he will never catch me in a haunted house, frankly. Like, it's never going to happen. Well, it happened once, and that's why I'm never going back. But for real, I just need to talk to someone about it, and it's just so good. And anyways, today I will be talking about The Big Dark Sky by Dean Koontz. A huge thank you to Amazon Publishing and Thomas and Mercer for providing me with an arc of this novel in exchange for an honest review. Please educate yourself on the content warnings for this novel before reading, as I may have missed some in my review. This novel does contain many dark themes that can be disturbing to some, so I recommend researching content warnings before reading. I will, however, go over the content warnings that I feel should be mentioned. Such include animal attacks, mentions of occult, death, mature content, mentions of cannibalism and incest, mentions of teen pregnancy, child abuse, self-mutilation, sexual assault, and murder. The Big Dark Sky is on sale July 19, 2022, so make sure, if you want to read this book after you finish listening to this episode, to check out the link in the description or the show notes and purchase this novel from Amazon. Overall, I rated The Big Dark Sky 4 out of 5 stars. Both the writing and the setting were 5 out of 5, the characters and memorability were 3 out of 5, and the plot was 4 out of 5 stars. The Big Dark Sky is a brilliantly written novel following the stories of various characters all connected to a mystery at the center of the spiderweb they've been entangled in. Full of suspense and showcasing Koontz's excellent writing style, The Big Dark Sky maintains Koontz as one of the best thriller writers, in my opinion, at least. The Big Dark Sky will be published by Thomas and Mercer and Amazon Publishing on July 19, 2022. It is 390 pages long and is an adult mystery thriller, sci-fi, suspense, and horror novel. The book's description: a group of strangers bound by terrifying synchronicity become humankind's hope of survival in an exhilarating, twist-filled novel by Dean Koontz, the number one New York Times best-selling master of suspense. As a girl, Joanna Chase thrived on Rustling Willows Ranch in Montana until tragedy upended her life. Now 34 and living in Santa Fe with only misty memories of the past, she begins to receive pleas by phone, through her TV, in her dreams. "I'm in a dark place, JoJo. Please come and help me." Heeding the disturbing appeals, Joanna is compelled to return to Montana and to a strange childhood companion she had long forgotten. She isn't the only one drawn to the Montana farmstead. People from all walks of life have converged at the remote ranch. They are haunted, on the run, obsessed, and seeking answers to the same omniscient danger Joanna came to confront. All the while, on the outskirts of Rustling Willows, a madman lurks with a vision to save the future. Mass murder is the only way to see his frightening manifesto come to pass. Through a bizarre twist of seemingly coincidental circumstances, a band of strangers now find themselves under Montana's big dark sky. Their lives entwined, they face an encroaching horror. Unless they can defeat this threat, it will spell the end for humanity. I cannot tell you how many words I just had to look up because I'm stupid and I can't pronounce things. Google's my best friend. I was literally like, omniscient, how do you say that? And then I found out I was right. So, you know, I'm just going to stop looking things. That's a lie. I will still look things up, but I'll pretend like I'm smart enough that I don't have to look up how to pronounce words. Anyways, on to my review. From the moment I started reading The Big Dark Sky, I was drawn in by the mysterious and paranormal nature of the novel. The homicidal forces that surrounded the characters posed a serious threat and made me want to know more about the peril they were about to endure. From a psychotic cult to murderous aliens, The Big Dark Sky presents a complex intermingling of evil forces that threaten to eradicate humankind. Dean Koontz is a master at using multiple points of view to build suspense and shows different storylines all barreling towards one focus. back to Stranger Things. Think a Stranger Things-esque meetup at the end of the season, but just in a book. See, we're coming right back around to Stranger Things. It's gonna happen. It's like, if you guys listen to Morbid, it's always, what does it mean, girls? Gilmore Girls? Both. The point is that I love media that utilize this form of storytelling, and it almost always keeps me engaged with the story. There is just something about little pieces of the puzzle being discovered by different people, and then it all coming together at the end. It's just this aha moment, I guess, that I really like, which sounds stupid now that I'm saying it out loud, but it's true, okay? The Big Dark Sky is relatively fast-paced after the first few chapters, and as I mentioned, contains what seems to be many small plots. Still, they all connect at the end. The suspense and stakes of the situation rise rapidly throughout the book. However, I did feel that the ending was a little too rushed and didn't fit with the rest of the novel. Frankly, it left me underwhelmed and a little disappointed in contrast to the rest of the events. Basically, I was kind of disappointed that there's this huge buildup. Like, you know it's all gonna come together, but it came together so fast that we didn't really get to see all the characters interact, if that makes sense. Like, all of a sudden, they're just, I'm not gonna say any spoilers, but all the characters are kind of gathered in the cabin at Rustling Willows, I think is the name of that ranch. And you expect it all to come together for them all to explain it. I guess I was expecting a Stranger Things type of thing, but you know what? It's fine. I can compare these things. And I guess I was a little disappointed because they all gather and then all of a sudden it breaks out into this whole action sequence, right? Stuff starts going down and there's no, like, you know the connections, I guess, but the characters don't, you don't necessarily see them piece it together, which is really what I was looking forward to. So I was a little disappointed with that. I just felt like it was super rushed. And like I said, without mentioning any spoilers, the final showdown between the characters and the monstrous evil attacking humanity would have been so much better if it had just been slowed down and the characters were able to actually come together, because they were physically there, but I wouldn't say they were necessarily a team against this monster, right? Like, there was no, personally, I did not feel like they were connected like I wanted them to be. And even though the fight was predictable, right, I could see that they were all gonna come together and fight, right? It felt like the villain came out of nowhere. Like, it's just, basically, there's Asher Optime, which I'll get into a little bit later, and he's involved in this crazy cult, right, that's like, you need to be not human, even though you're being very human by trying to take over the world and kill everybody, but, you know, it's besides the point. So he's a physical threat, but then there's also the other, which is, at first they think, kind of like a hacker, right? They're hacking into various TVs and the cars and making Joanne see things, right? But it's really just this, I don't know, maybe I think they said it was an alien, right? And so it's just like, they didn't, I don't know, the way they presented the alien at the end of the book did not feel like the same, like, it felt very rushed. It was like, well, where did that form of this alien come from? Like, we never talked about this before. Like, that's completely random. It just felt like that, you know? It's really hard to review books without spoilers, you guys. I'm trying my best. This is why a friend of mine was actually like, hey, you should do movie reviews. And to be honest, it sounds like a lot of fun. Like, I would love to do that. Movies catch my attention a lot more than books nowadays, I guess, because it's just easier for me to sit down and just watch a movie, right? I don't have to stay focused on words on a page, right? And I would love to do that. But I'm going to try and get this podcast and my blog on track first before I add another, like, side quest, right? I'm, like, literally I need to just focus on one thing right now. So we're going to try that. But, like, you know, to be honest, if this book became a movie, I would love it. Like, I think I would love this book as a movie even more than I love this book, right? It just has, I need to see this as a movie, actually. I'm gonna, I'll become a director just to direct this movie, and then I'll dip. But, I don't know. I was slightly disappointed with the ending. The issue for me, too, was there was this huge, huge buildup, right? And you're so excited for them all to get together. And then it just kind of, like, it happened, but was it really what I wanted, right? So, I don't know. That was the most disappointing part to me of this novel. But, like I said, the rest is great. If I want to see this as a movie, it's a good book. Like, I really want to see this as a movie, actually. My email Mr. Dean Koontz and be like, hey, can you potentially make this happen? Please and thank you. Just for me, no one else, just private showing, I guess. But besides the ending, besides the plot, I was slightly disappointed with the characters in this novel. Usually, I love Dean Koontz's characters, and I feel very connected to them. And he always has a large cast of characters. I feel like that goes hand in hand with having as many points of view as he usually does. And I can usually handle a large cast of characters. I mean, one of my favorite books is And Then There Were None, and I'm perfectly fine there, so... But unfortunately, many of the characters in this book just felt too similar to one another for me to truly connect to or care about them. I mean, there were characters like Joanne, Ophelia, Coulson, and Asher Optime that stuck out. But a lot of them, I could not tell you who they really were, right? I mean, there was the one agent guy, Ganesh, I don't know what his name was, but, you know, it's something like that. It's spelled G-A-N-E-S-H, and I know that's a thing. I know there's a guy, what was his name, like, Harley, I think, where I was like, oh, this guy's probably gonna be important, right? Just for reference, honestly, this Harley, what's his name? Let me look at my notes. Harley Spondaller, I think. He might be my favorite character, and he's not even really that important to the plot, right? He used to be involved in the cult that Asher is involved in, right? Or was involved in, and, like, kind of broke off and became even crazier then. But Harley used to be in this cult, right? And Harley is just this, like, senile... I don't even think he's that old, is he? I don't even... No, I don't think he's that old. He might be, like, I don't know, like... middle age, but he's not, like, an elder, you know, and he's just an asshole, like, I don't understand, but he might be my favorite just because he's so ridiculous. Like I said, like, this has nothing to do, I mean, it has to do with the novel, but it does, he does not impact, like, if he was not in the book, like, I don't even think it would really impact the rest of the novel, but he's in the book, right? So it connects. But this man, right, you're introduced to him. He's outside. He has this petty hatred for his neighbor, poor Viola Redfern, who's an old lady, and she has her nice little garden. She has some roses. And he literally just says he just hates kind people and he likes to annoy others. Like, I'm pretty sure... it's not an actual quote, but it's practically the quote, okay? And he just decides to just pee on her roses just to kill them. Okay, first of all, what? Second of all, that's disgusting. And also, she's a poor old lady. Just leave her alone. And then his house gets blown up, and I was like, okay, I'm chilling with this. And then a bunch of, I think, Ganesh, whatever his name is, Ganesh, there's this whole agency, right, that's trying to protect enemies of Asher, I think, is the whole thing. They think this the other, right, the alien, but they think it's a hacker, is purposely targeting people that are enemies of this cult. I forget what the name of the cult was, but it was a cult basically that wants humanity to end, right? And this guy, like, these people, the agents are trying to help him. They're like, we will give you a new home. We will relocate you. We will hide you, put you in the witness protection program, right? So you won't die. And he's like, you know what? In his head, he's like, I really want to just, like, pee on everybody right now. Like, I just hate all these people so much that I want to pee on them. And I'm like, what are you, a dog? Like, what? I just don't understand. He's my favorite character purely because, like, he wants to pee on people because it's so ridiculous. I'm like, why was that necessary? Like, I'm glad it's in there because I just am. Don't pee on other people, you guys. But, like, Harley definitely was trying to. He thought about it. Yeah, I literally, page 17, why does this man want to pee on everything? LOL. Those are my notes. Like, 17 pages in, and I'm like, is this how it's gonna be? But it wasn't. The book's actually good. But, like, Harley is my favorite just because he's so ridiculous. And, like, what? I just still can't get over. Why would you pee on a poor old lady's bushes? You deserve, if you are peeing on your neighbor's gardens just to kill their flowers, I hope your house crumbles to dust. That's just rude. Why would you do that? Especially when this poor old lady is doing nothing to you. That's rude. That's rude. Don't pee on other people's stuff, you guys. Or other people. Just don't pee. Pee in the toilet, period. Like, just don't do it. Anyways. Besides that, Joanne is a young woman whose past is shadowed by mystery, tragedy, and lies. Though she doesn't know it until mysterious occurrences haunt her house and her dreams. The story allows her to discover the truth behind your past, which I thought was really cool, which just completely unravels the life she has known throughout her adult life. And then Ophelia and Coulson are both captives of Asher Optheim, who, like I said, is a psychopathic egomaniac whose sole purpose is to start and finish the destruction of humanity. I'm a little uncomfortable discussing Asher because, you know how one of the content warnings was self-mutilation? Yeah, he was like, this is so ridiculous, but he was like, apparently, his thought process was, humans are evil, so I'm just gonna make sure I can't have kids. And if you don't get what I'm saying, I'm just not going to go into it any further because I don't want to talk about it. He goes on for so long about how he's so much better than everyone else because he literally, like, I'm losing it. Okay. Don't hurt yourself, you guys. Don't pull it, Asher. And if you don't get what I'm talking about, then, good for you, honestly. You don't want to know. But anyways, Ophelia and Coulson are both just badasses. Coulson's this 13-year-old, and Ophelia, I felt so bad for her, because basically, she was going to, it was some group related to her sister dying. Her sister died in a car crash while she was driving the car, right? And so she feels guilty over that, right? But she was like, there must be a reason I survived. And then she meets Asher, and he's literally like, I'm literally just gonna kill you. And she's thinking, maybe my purpose is to kill this jerk. And good for her, honestly. Like, I'm sorry, if I ever got kidnapped, I would just call it quits. I'd be like, out, sign out of life. Like, is there a log out button? Because I just, at that point, that's horrible luck. I would not survive because I'm stupid. I also have no upper body strength, so there's no fighting anyone off for me. My main defense is just being annoying and hoping they leave me alone. But Ophelia and Coulson are just, they just, they're survivors, man. They want to survive, they're determined, and they will do it. And I'm proud of them. Good for them. But if Asher Oppheim can at me, I'm sorry. I would just accept my fate. Like, they're, anyways, this is why I would never survive in a horror movie. And I've had these discussions with my friends. So, but for whatever reason, probably their homicidal tendencies, Asher reminded me a lot of Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. But, like, obviously, there's no way he's more attractive than Christian Bale, so it's not comparable, actually. I take it back. He can't be like Patrick Bateman, although Patrick Bateman is an attractive Christian Bale, but that's besides the point. But, like, Asher, he is so just insane that he makes such a good villain. Because you can tell that he is just so out of touch with reality that he is scary. Because there's people like that out there. Like, obviously, hopefully not this crazy. But there are people out there who are just insane and evil. And this guy who Dean Koontz wrote is just the perfect example of that. And it works so well in this book. He's determined to set himself apart from the rest of the human race, and he looks down on them as if he's not a part of the human race. But, you know, people like to think they are better than others, but, you know, we're all the same. But he looks at other people, and he thinks that they're so horrible because they're so human and they're so destructive, and that he's actively murdering people. Like, Asher, get it together and take a look in the mirror for just a second, okay? I'm bringing middle school insults back. Just chill out and realize you are such a hypocrite. The thing is, despite him being completely evil, I found Asher Oppheim to be the most unique and memorable of the characters, right? Like, obviously not my favorite because that's Harley. Also because Asher is a murderer, but he is just so distinctly evil, and it's so realistic that I genuinely hated him. I was hoping he fell in a river and just washed away, you know? I was so frustrated with him that it really push me through this novel too. Besides the plot, besides me wanting to see what happened, Asher was such a good villain, and I have to applaud Koontz for writing him like he did, because it is so perfect within this novel. And then one of my favorite parts of The Big Dark Sky was actually the setting. And usually the setting for me isn't really important, right? Like, I don't really care where something takes place. The setting to me isn't usually that important unless you're obviously reading like a historical fiction novel, or, well, I guess the setting is important in like every single book, but to me, I just kind of ignore it, right? Unless it's a fantasy novel or a sci-fi or a historical fiction, because that's very important. But the isolation that Rustling Willows Ranch and Montana in this book offered just added a chilling feel to the book, because it is truly one of my worst fears to be far from civilization and just be stuck there, because that is terrifying. Like, to have no help around you, no thank you. Being in or slash near the woods just intensifies my absolute terror, and they were exactly that. Also near a lake. Like, I just don't like large bodies of water. You never know where Megalodon is hiding, okay? I saw a documentary when I was little, and it messed me up. Never, ever will you catch me in an ocean. I saw Jaws. I know what goes on. It's not fun. But, like, I've literally seen too many horror movies to know that taking a fun little trip to an isolated place is practically a death wish. And I'm not outdoorsy at all. And it is just not my type of jam. Like, I'm sorry. If my car was trying to take me back to this damn ranch, I would just, I would turn right around. And if these scary, scary alien try to kill me, well, you know what? Just do it. Because I am not in the mood to fight with an alien. It's just not on my agenda. It doesn't fit in my schedule. I'm a pretty busy person. I don't have time for that, so, you know. But just overall, all parts of this novel came together to form a cohesive and chilling tale of deception, secrets, and evil. And overall, I enjoyed reading The Big Dark Sky. There were many aspects that made this novel a worthwhile and suspenseful read, and I've enjoyed every single Dean Koontz book that I've read. Favorite is Door to December, because first one I ever read, my mom also read it when she was younger. So, you know, I love Dean Koontz's novels. And although there were some issues and some disappointments that I had with this book, overall, I still enjoyed it, and I would definitely read it again. If I ever reread books, but I don't. But, like, in my heart, I would reread it again. It is so good at certain things that it makes the read worthwhile. And like I said, Asher as a villain is the perfect, like, it fit. I cannot stress how well it fit in. He fit into this book. It just makes it so much more of a story and so much more realistic. I mean, like, when you're talking about, obviously, cults are real. Like, we know this, okay? But aliens, like, we don't know this. Personally, I think they're real, but, you know, that's besides the point. That doesn't really matter right now. But in a book where a lot of it seems far-fetched and you really have to use your imagination, right? Because that's what fiction is. You have to use your imagination. Asher really grounded it and made it feel more real, because I could easily see someone like that actually existing. Someone that crazy and that evil being a real person. Because I don't know if you guys, like, I mentioned Morbid earlier, like, there are crazy, insane people out there who are just evil. And he really, really grounded this book and made it more realistic when the rest is, you know, very fictional, obviously. And Asher is fictional, so it's like, you know, but he, the way that Koontz wrote this book makes it such a good novel, and I cannot recommend it enough. And like I said, if you want to purchase this novel, the link to Amazon for this book is in the show notes and slash description. Dean Koontz's website is also there, so you can check out others of his many great books. Like I said, I've also reviewed Elsewhere and Quicksilver, and both of those books are so, so good. I've yet to read the other Emily, which is one of his newer ones as well, but Door to December is really good. Like, Dean Koontz just has, like I said, he's really a master of the thriller and suspense genre, and if you do like suspense and thrillers, I highly, highly recommend you check some of his books out if you have not already, and especially this one, because it does come out in, what, a couple weeks? July 19th. 2022. So definitely check that out. And that is the end of my review of The Big Dark Sky by Dean Koontz. I hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, BookBub, and BookSirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews. If you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss a novel, maybe even just reach out to me, talk to me about Stranger Things, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening, and happy reading. And like I said, I apologize for the wait. I apologize. I know Elias is out there listening, waiting. I did it. I promise. But I hope you enjoyed this, and hopefully I will be back and I will be able to turn out some new reviews and new episodes. And I don't know, maybe one day I will have a movie podcast. We'll see. We'll see where this takes me. But for now, I hope you all have a great day, and like I said, happy reading!